Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
We enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, inspiration, culture, and anything else that's top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
What we realized is the podcast is actually relationship counseling.
What?
The podcast is actually relationship counseling.
For who?
For us.
Not for me.
Working on this podcast is a lesson in relationships.
Well, then it's working because I feel great. How do you feel?
The things we tell ourselves.
Wow. You're just going to steal my line? The appropriate line is actually the lies we tell ourselves.
I know, and I wasn't trying to imply that you or I are lying, so I said the things we tell ourselves.
Maybe it is counseling, because I'm just about to enter another
session.
Let's
just say, for the last 5 minutes, James has been trying to imitate me, and he's been doing a bad job at it.
There is no try.
I hope he sees the
flaws
in his
system. There's only do or do not, and I did.
Anyways, how was your week, honey?
My week was great. How was yours?
My week was good.
See? Everything's good.
I was in Philly this week doing some work stuff, and I had the opportunity to go to a Phillies game, so that was fun. One thing that happened, which was kind of crazy, so I'm taking the Amtrak train back, and I'm not that far in line. Anybody who's taken Amtrak from Philly, you know when it comes up to New York, the lines are crazy long, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not that far from the front, but we're lined up, and this woman who's like two people behind me says to somebody else, hey, can you hold my bag? There's a woman who's trying to cut in line, and I'm going to go talk to her.
Like, she asked you to hold the bag?
No, she asked somebody else to hold it, but I'm listening to this. And so there's, you know how some people crowd the front, but they weren't in line. Usually, some of them cut, but most of them just wait until the whole line has gone through. So there are several people who are huddling in the front, but this woman decides to go walk up to one lady in particular, and I don't know why she walked up to this woman. The woman was Hispanic. She's pretty young, like probably our age, like in her 30s. And she looked like she like business casual dress. But she walks up to her. You can hear her from where we're standing. And she goes, excuse me, are you going up to New York? Because the line is way back there. And she's pointing. And I'm thinking, what in the hell? Like, you do not walk up to somebody and insist that they move, you know? And so the girl says, I'm just going to stand here until the line goes through. So the woman walks back, and the lady who's watching her bag says, what did she say? Oh, she said she's going to just stand there. I just hate when people do that because, you know, we've been waiting in line and they just want to cut. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? You are like willing yourself to get hit. Like, seriously, right?
Would you hit her if she came talking to you?
I wouldn't hit her, but I sure as hell wouldn't speak to her.
You just gonna stare her down?
I would either stare her down and tell her to get the hell out of my face.
Yeah, that was very appropriate.
I don't know you.
Making statements, assuming. You need to stop.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was so ridiculous.
Well, see, I don't know why people feel the need to just pick people out and think that there are no repercussions. Now, in this case, the woman didn't face any, and that's maybe why she keeps doing it, I assume.
This seems like her regular deal. The fact that she asked someone else to watch her bag so she could walk up to this woman. And again, my whole point, she didn't walk up to everybody. She decided who she was going to talk to, which I actually have a problem with that, too.
See, there are probably three appropriate responses for people like that. One is you just start praying very loudly when she comes to talk to you. Praying extremely loud.
You always
want
to do the crazy defense.
Because people need to understand, people in these streets are crazy. So response number one is you pray. Response number two is you scream, ah, get away from me. You scream really loud, being like, stop harassing me.
That would be funny.
Number three is you just look at her and you pull out your cell phone and say, what did you have to say? Very loudly. Can you say what you were going to say? Look in the camera. And then you go about your business. Mm-hmm. Because she thinks that she can say whatever she wants to you. Now, if you went over and said something to her, it'd be a whole nother category.
Oh, yeah. She'd call security. It would be a whole thing.
She needs to learn where she needs to live, which is in her own lane, in her own spot. And see, that person who held her bag, they needed to tell her, just like the person told a group of us when we were going through BWI Airport, people need to watch your stuff. You don't know who's around here. There are thieves everywhere. I would not leave anything unattended. Watch your things on this belt. She needed to watch her bag. It would have been actually a just dessert if her bag was not where it was. I didn't say it needed to get stolen, but it needed to not be where she thought it was. Because you're over here leaving your bag so you can go be a defender of what?
Ridiculousness.
I hope when they got on the train that the girl had a seat open next to her and she didn't give it to that woman.
Okay, now you always want to make a situation worse.
It's not making it worse. Just sorry, I don't have somebody sitting here. Just watch her walk away angry.
All right, so should we get into Be Better?
Yes, Be Better.
Be Better is our segment where we give you a tip or trick that you can use during your week to make your work life or your relationship life better.
So my Be Better this week is actually 15 touch points. Everybody should have 15 touch points.
Okay.
You need to reach out this week, because I'm going to do it too, to 5 friends, 5 family members, and 5 people in your network. I feel like too often we don't really hear from each other. I have a lot of friends from college, from high school, that I consider very good friends that I haven't talked to in a good bit. So I'm going to reach out and just say what's up and see what's going on in people's lives. Hope they do the same. So everybody this week, 15 touch points, because we all need to stay connected.
My Be Better this week is don't count yourself out of any opportunities. So this kind of comes from the notion that sometimes we get confined in our bubble, confined in our state, confined in our like mental state or physical state sometimes. And people sometimes have a feeling that they can't do something because of those limitations. And, you know, you might get a job offer, you might have an opportunity to travel somewhere, and you just feel like logistically it doesn't make sense, or I can't leave my current job, or, you know, I have to break my lease and this is going to get complicated. And I think people should start thinking a little bit more holistically. This opportunity might not come around again, whether it's to travel, like I said, or whether it's a work thing, but you have one life to live and you can make a way to make it work. So don't limit yourself. Don't count yourself out just because of your situation, and go for it.
All right. That's a nice one. So I think we're ready to move into All Things Success. In All Things Success, we discuss how you can navigate workplace issues, advance your career, and be a boss in general.
Okay. This week, I want to pose the question to you. Is it okay to exaggerate on your LinkedIn profile?
Depends on what you mean by exaggerate.
Okay, so two things I mean, and we're taking this story from our girl, Liz Ryan, over at Forbes. She had an article where people were complaining about their coworker saying that she was exaggerating her responsibilities on her LinkedIn page. So say she doesn't manage any people, but she's saying she manages people, that she's putting in a lot of extra tasks that she does, and that she's basically over-exaggerating the things that she does at work, and they have a problem with her doing that on her page. Do you think that you should be allowed to exaggerate on your LinkedIn profile?
No, I don't think you should be able to exaggerate on your LinkedIn profile. I think you can be your best salesperson, but it has to actually be true what you're saying. It all depends on what you're saying. Like, do you think it's exaggeration if you have you have 7 people who work on a project with you and you're the project lead? Do those 7 people report to you now? Would you say that's exaggeration? I think yes.
No, if you're leading the team.
Yeah, you don't have 7 reports.
You could say I lead 7 people.
You lead a project with 7.
I lead 7 people.
And maybe that's the difference.
You don't have to say a project with. You can say you lead. Whoa. But I also think there's a line, right? Like, I think that you can be very confident in your profile and in your resume to that fact, but you cannot blatantly lie. And what I mean by that is you can't like change your job title. You can't say, oh, my name's Artesia, and I'm the chief financial officer at this company. No, you're right. Not. Like, I'm not the CFO, so I can't say I'm the CFO. If you're not a manager, you can't say you're a manager. If you are not a manager, but you manage things, you can say that. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed. Okay, yes. That's in the realm. I just find it to be uncomfortable, because even when I read resumes of people applying for jobs where I work, and you have to kind of read between the lines and ask questions to see what it is, I feel like if it's that type of exaggeration, just don't even bother.
Yeah, you have to be able to fully support it. But I think it's like any instance where you want to put your best foot forward. So like if you make copies for the whole team, you don't want to say I make copies for the team. You want to say something like, I'm responsible for, you know, ensuring reports for the team.
Yes, there's a nice
you know
way to
I
put
mean?
It together. I'll never forget one time I had an internship back when I thought I was going to be the lawyer. And I was working for the director of the law firm center. And I was her assistant. So when I asked for a letter of reference, she's like, well, you write it. It was actually the first time I heard about that. I was like, why am I writing this? This is hard. And she said, well, can you write it? So I gave myself a title. So I said that I was the assistant director of the resource center.
And see, that's the lie.
And I gave the letter to her, and she was like, no, you're the assistant to the director. And here I am thinking, okay, I'm putting my best foot forward, when it was like...
Yeah, we'll give you a pass on that because you were young. But I think anybody who's a little bit more mature in their career at that time would know what they're doing if they put assistant director versus assistant to the director. I think there was an episode of The Office about that. But I also have a problem with people having like a sole proprietorship company and calling themselves like the CEO of several brands. They have a regular job, right? Like say they're like a business analyst or something, or they, I don't know, work in an office, whatever their job is. Mm-hmm. But then on LinkedIn, they're like, I'm the CEO of BookBooks Incorporated. But really like what that is like their personal writing service.
I 100% agree with them doing that.
I don't.
It's your thing. You are the head person.
You are the head of own you. It. If you own do it. Not have...
Nope, not you, true. Not true.
And you can say founder, you know what I mean? But you cannot say CEO if you have no employees.
Not true.
I
disagree. You have your own enterprise. You have your own business. You have your own service. You're the head.
You're the head of you. There's no.
I'm the
else.
Head of the business. That's what lets
and
you be a CEO.
Business, you.
The business is the service I provide.
And
so I'm the head.
You're
I'm
not
the CEO.
Overseeing
I'm
anything.
The president. I'm overseeing the business.
You're overseeing you. That's
no,
my point. What's
no,
the service? The service is you doing
so.
Something.
Okay. So does a president and CEO of a 7-person company?
At least
be
they can
more
say
important
that they have
than
some...
a president and a CEO of a 7,000-person company. It depends on what services they're providing and whether or not people have value in it. It's that so for you to say I have one employee, which is me, versus I have 100, now I have a CEO title.
So you are the employee and the CEO at the same time?
Right. Have you not seen the paperwork? Not seen the paperwork? The owner can also be the proprietor or whatever the case is.
So that to me... is somewhat of a exaggeration on LinkedIn.
I don't think it's an exaggeration.
If you have your own business and you're in at this point, you're the only person in said business, you should say founder of.
And what's the founder?
The founder is the person who created the business, which
yes,
you do. Yes,
and I'm
created
the CEO
the
of the business. I chose not to say founder. So how come the people say founder and CEO?
Because once it becomes a business with people, then they can
no.
change it to
a
say CEO.
A business is a business before you have employees. A business is a business if you have customers. So let's just be clear about that.
So are we the CEOs of All These Things podcast?
This is not a business. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast that's going to be a business.
Yeah, and when it is the business, we'll be fighting each other for who's the CEO.
Then we can get a couple employees and be the CEO.
No, once it's a business, and I think I should be CEO.
Right now, we're founders.
Right. We're
co-founders.
And that's
my whole point, is once you actually become a business with an employee, then you can
and I will be co-founder
and
CEO and
manager
and
whatever
you can be co-founder and co-host.
If you think that you're going to be CEO and I'm going to be co-host, you are out of your mind.
Well, we don't have any employees.
We
so
will discuss this
care.
At a later date.
The biggest thing I have an issue with here that we haven't addressed yet is the fact that people are reading these profiles and being like, wait, what is going on over here?
Yeah, the thing in the article was saying that the co-workers went to HR to complain about the other person on their team exaggerating. And I'm like, get a life. Like you should not be stalking people's LinkedIn talking about HR. She's saying that she's lying on her LinkedIn. What? Get out of here.
If HR didn't pull those people's files and be like, let's talk about your performance goals for this year. Have you met them? Instead of sitting in here in my office asking me what's on other people's LinkedIn profiles.
Right.
That's my job to police how people are representing themselves in the company, not you.
And Liz Ryan even said this. She said, this is complete garbage. Like, these employees do not need to be following up on this.
And the other thing is, you know, while they're sitting here reading everybody's profiles and things like that, let's just be clear. As much as I just said HR should be the one kind of policing this, HR needs to be aware of what's going on there so that there's no issues for the business. Mm-hmm. But the LinkedIn profile belongs to the employee, just straight up. If I want to put on there that I also have a side business and I'm a DJ and I'm a this and I'm a that, it's my business what I put up there. Literally, it's my business. And it shouldn't be a matter of what's going on at work. As long as I'm not saying anything that is destroying the reputation of the company, and is illegal for me to say,
right,
as long as I'm not releasing any private or confidential information, everybody can just really step back from the profile because it's yours. And do what you need to do with it. Use it to put your best foot forward and just ignore everybody else. And I wonder if this person that they're talking about even heard about it. Because I'm
with coworkers like that, I'm sure she did. Because they seem real catty.
You know what? Put all the things you want on that profile because you'll be getting rich and they'll just be sitting there getting mad.
All right. Well, with that, let's go to All Things Inspiration. In All Things Inspirations, we share our thoughts on inspirational messages that get you thinking and keep you motivated. This week for All Things Inspiration, we have a clip from a Oprah Show Life Class segment. And I heard it when I was sitting at work. I was working late and I decided to, you know, I always listen to different like motivational things. And when I heard this, I called you and I was like, this is what I needed to hear right now. So we wanted to share it on today's podcast. It's about a minute and a half long. So we're going to play it now and then we'll talk about it after.
The most exciting thing to me about her is that she never gave up on herself. That manuscript was turned down by many, 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 many people, but she wouldn't stop believing. This is what I know for sure. Had I not been on television and I were working in a shoe store someplace, I do believe that I would be the person who would be selling the most shoes. And I would be selling the most shoes because people would like to come around and have the conversations that we would be having as they tried on the shoes. So I never imagined that what I would be doing would be sitting on television talking to you all. But the nature of my personality and the nature of my belief was that whatever I would be doing, I would find a way to be really good at it and excel at it. That is what I believed about myself. So J.K. Rowling had some of that same stuff. She was a writer and she knew she was a writer. And what writers do is write. They write whether 15 people or 15 million people are reading it. If that is what you believe you were born to do, you do it. You find a way to allow the truth of yourself to express itself, because that's what we're all looking for. We're all looking for the highest, fullest expression of ourselves as human beings. And unless you're doing that, unless you're finding a way for what you believe to be true about yourself to express and manifest itself in the world, you are not living your fullest life.
Okay, I love that little segment. The whole thing is 40 minutes long, but that minute and a half, like, really spoke to me that night especially. And it got me thinking about, I was sitting there doing work, doing auditing at
that, see, and when you watch these things at late at night, it's dangerous.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here working late, you know, in auditing, we do a lot of looking at numbers and looking at process. But she said, basically, you need to be doing what you believe to be true about yourself in order to have your fullest life possible. That really hit me, because I know for the past few years, I've really been thinking about what have I been born to do? What am I passionate about? And listening to this, it kind of got, you know, again, another realization that if you don't identify what it is and start doing it, you're not living a full life.
I agree. And I think what really related to me when you sent this is that I was kind of going through a process where I was trying to figure out what that truest thing is for me. We have a leadership program that a few of us are in, and our coach was actually trying to get us to develop a brand statement. And it was really supposed to hit on what are those things. We've been talking about our values, what we envision, what we want, all in this frame of what do you want and what do you want your life to be? And when Oprah was saying this, I was just kind of really tying the two together. And I think I'm getting close to understanding what that truest thing is for you. Because to me, when you figure that out of what you're supposed to be doing, she's talking about J.K. Rowling and saying, well, she always believed she was a writer and she understood she was a writer. And this is what she needs to be. And Oprah's like, I was going to be talking to people no matter what. Mm-hmm. However that happened, I know the talking is what was going to bring people into me.
Right.
It really helped me think and understand that this is how people get to that point where you're doing the thing you were put here to do. So now it's not a job. It's not the thing that, all right, well, I'm only doing for a specific amount of time, because this is your purpose. This is what you're feeling and fulfilling and giving to the world.
And it's such a big deal? That's why I think that I've struggled so much to kind of concretely decide, like, what is it that I meant to do? I enjoy writing. I enjoy talking to people. I certainly enjoy talking about philosophy and why we are the way we are and the things we think. And I enjoy talking about that. Sometimes I get caught up in thinking, is this a job? Is this a career?
Mm-hmm.
When really it's a thing to do. You know, it's like being a writer, it's being a talker, it's teaching, whatever it is. And I think that I've struggled with that. I'm still struggling with that, is figuring out what is it that I am meant to do in this life.
And it's something a lot of people struggle with. And then I feel like the people who don't, there's a small percentage of people who already know what that is and they're living the truth. But there's a whole bunch of people who aren't even thinking about it yet.
Right.
Because they're thinking their focus in life is different things. So I've been here to sit, you know, take care of my family. So I do these other things so I can take care of my family,
mm-hmm.
instead of kind of directly living their purpose.
You know, what's funny is some people know from the earliest age, right? Like I listen to a radio show, the Bobby Bone Show. He constantly tells stories about how from elementary school and middle school and high school, he was always involved in radio and like watching late night comedy hosts and things like that. So he was always good at talking. He really had an interest in music and being the on-air personality type. And so now that he's very successful in that field, you can kind of see throughout his whole life how he was being prepared through his own interest, through his own purpose, and now actually succeeding at it, because that's what he was meant to do.
Right.
And I just, sometimes I have to take a step back and think, were there things from when you were a childhood? Because essentially it's all within you the whole time. How you deviate, that comes with life.
Right.
But essentially it's always in you and it's been there. And I think sometimes we have to take a moment, think back to like the most innocent times of ourselves and be like, what did I enjoy? What, another thing that I think about is what have other people noticed in you? You know
exactly.
What I mean? That you may not see for yourself. What have other people told you? You are so good at listening. You are so good with kids, like whatever the thing is, you know? And I think I've tried to be aware of that. I've tried to be aware of my own thoughts about it. I'm not there yet, but I really want to, because I totally believe what she says. It's like, if you cannot manage to manifest that true purpose, then you're not living out your life fully.
I agree. I'm getting close. And I keep saying I'm getting close because I have an idea of it and we've had to articulate it and write it down. And we even said it to each other in this group and critiqued each other. My new issue is, okay, how do I put this in the framework for my day-to-day perspective at work that people understand? Because, you know, being me, of course, being James, it's not already somebody else's defined path. It touches on things that I do, but the purpose of what I'm doing and how it's most valuable, I don't think is an accepted thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, I might have to blaze my own trail with how I do that. But I think everybody should really spend time in thinking about what it is you feel like you are put here to do. I think everybody can have that purpose. And it may not be that you do this 100% of your time, but you have to have some of yourself doing it. I feel like when nothing you have in terms of time and energy is going into that thing you're here for, that's when you get frustrated. That's when you're sad. That's when you feel like you're just in a rut.
Yep.
Because you're not feeding yourself by living your purpose.
Totally agree. If anybody has any aha moments that they've had, share them with us and we can share them on a future podcast. Because I think that a lot of people, especially younger people, but I think a lot of people our age, I know I have this conversation with a lot of friends, we're in our late 20s, in our early 30s, and we are still feeling like we're figuring it out. So if anybody who's listening has figured it out, we'd
right.
love to hear that story. How did you come to live out your true purpose in this life? How did you find that purpose? How did,
right.
did you always know? Is it something you had to work towards? I would love to hear everybody's stories on that.
All right. So yeah, so let's definitely think about that. And we'd love to hear from you guys. So with that, we will move into all things culture. In All Things Culture, we highlight the most interesting things that cross our social feeds during the week.
Okay, so before I read the story, I just want to give the opening sentence.
I'm ready.
Is there a difference between a sugar baby and a prostitute?
Ooh, okay, I wasn't ready for that. Is there a difference? All right, I gotta think. Yes, there is a difference between a sugar baby and a prostitute. From everything I've heard, now mind you, I've not spoken to a sugar baby or a prostitute, knowingly.
Good.
But for people who've talked about this with me before, because I feel like I didn't fully grasp the concept of sugar mamas and sugar daddies until I got to college. And people were very, I don't know, funny enough, this would just come up. But the sugar babies, the sugar mamas, sugar daddies, sex is not a requirement in that relationship from what I understand. With prostitution, it is a requirement, and that's the purpose of the transaction.
So this story came from The Root, okay? And okay. It was floating around our social media, so that's how it ended up in all things culture. But basically, I think that there's a component of being a sugar baby that does include sex, but there's more to it. The companionship, the being around for events and things like that, but also including intimacy. And so the reason why I brought this topic up is because this story was floating around, and it's called What Sugar Babies Can Teach Women About the Value of the Emotional Work They Put Into a Relationship. That's the title. Basically, they're telling the story of Nina Peterson, who's 37 years old, and she's a self-described sugar baby. Since becoming a sugar baby, Peterson has been given a home with an outdoor pool, private school tuition for her daughters, $100,000 worth of plastic surgery, and a $200,000 Maserati.
Wow, she reached high.
Yeah, and so she's making it. She's living off of the man who she's with, right? And her children are with him too. So basically, the article goes on to say that women do need to understand that the things that they provide to their man, including the companionship, the looking attractive, the cooking, the cleaning, all of that has a value. So with the sugar baby thing, it implies that it's a much older man and kind of a younger woman compared to the man. Mm-hmm. And so there's that includes work, right? Like, she has to pretend that she's attracted to him. She has to be intimate with him, even though she's not. She has to spend time with him and stroke his ego. So that's why he's giving her access to money and things and all of this, right? That's what that transactional thing is. It's in addition to sex, but like, I am giving you a house so that you're good. And then, so when I come in, you give me a hug and a kiss. And when we're out, you are fawning over me and you're a nice arm piece. You're keeping your body right. Like, there's other things that come with it. And so the author is basically giving the point to women that, like, there is value in the things that we bring to relationships. At minimum, you should get a man who reciprocates, but you can also get it in actual assets, money, things like that.
Well, this is a very enterprising woman and an interesting perspective she has. What I would say is this. So he's given her a $200,000 car. She's got a house with a pool. Well, she's getting all these things. I wonder why. Maybe she just doesn't want to, or maybe the guy doesn't want to. Why don't you just get married? Because if this man can just give you all of this stuff, to me, the idea of the sugar baby and you know, she's providing, you know, intimacy among all the other things, you might as well just marry him, sign a prenup, and then have like a certain amount of money in addition to being able to have access to the
car. Well, he might not want to marry her because of that very thing. Maybe. That might not be on the table. So I think that the whole thing is like, I'm not going to marry you. Like, we know what this is. I know that you don't love me for me, like, and you know that I don't necessarily love you for you, but we are with each other for this mutually beneficial relationship. That's what it is.
I guess. Maybe I'm just bothered by the title and what it connotes than the actual practice. Because, I mean, it happens all the time where people marry somebody who's significantly younger than them, and they, you know, the younger person is taking advantage of the money opportunity.
Right.
There are also people who don't get married. They just date. And it's a similar thing. This just does seem like a lot, though. The big house, the car, everything that's all separate from him.
Uh-huh.
It does seem like a lot. But hey, if you have it to give, I guess, and you want to give it, then fine. Now, being different from a prostitute, yeah, I mean, very clear. The prostitute's about a sexual transaction. You do it and it's done. And
yeah, there's nothing else really there.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's something morally wrong with being a sugar baby? Or a sugar daddy, for that matter?
I don't think it's something that, I don't think there's anything morally wrong with it.
I think it's fine as long as both people are clear on what this is. I think if any one person thinks that it's more, or then that's where there's a problem. Like, if the woman thinks that this man is going to marry her, if he's leading her on to think marriage is in the future, then I think that that's wrong.
Well, I don't think this is any different than any other relationship then. I mean, there are many men who lead women on.
And I think that that's wrong, but I mean,
yeah, I don't think that relates to the sugar baby relationship. It's just a relationship.
So let me read another passage from the article, okay?
Okay.
All right. So what the author says is the emotional work of dating and maintaining is not free. Still, it is expected that women who often carry the emotional burden of maintaining relationships should happily give it all away. I spend an undue amount of my workday listening to women talk about dating and relationships. In general, guys have a lot of expectations from women. They expect to be cooked for, cleaned for, listened to, emotionally propped up, and sexed down practically on demand. And these are the expectations that come without a real commitment, i.e. marriage. It's all expected to be performed as some sort of audition for the role of wife, when you then are expected to do it forever. But by their early 30s, unmarried women are spent from all the emotional tap dancing they do for relationships that have not panned out. And what do they have to show for it? Experience, insight, memories? That's cute for personal development, but none of that pays the mortgage.
Yeah, I have issues with that, of course.
What do you have issues with? Because she's making a good point. So, like, if you're in the dating world and you're out here being the best type of woman, wifey material that you can be, and none of these relationships work, at the end of the day, you didn't get a house. You didn't get any money. So Nina, who's got her kids in private school, is driving a nice car. She's technically got more out of the experience than you. We're both in our 30s. I mean, theoretically, right? Like, they're both in their 30s, and she's at least has something to show for it. Meanwhile, you just single.
Okay, so fine. She has kids. That's between her and whoever the father of those kids are. That's nothing to do with the next person.
I'm talking about her kids are in school. Like, they're
paid. Okay, and that's your decision to put your kids in a private school that needs. So that doesn't pay the mortgage. You don't have to have a house that because we're dating. Like, so I don't know. She's making it seem like, well, I have things I need to do and these men need to pay for it because I'm investing time. And I'm like, they're also investing time and emotion. Oh, you have to do all these things for men and they just whatever. Are you kidding me? Men have to listen to you guys on demand. When you're upset, we have to listen. When you're crying, we have to listen. When you're happy, we have to listen. We're like, come on. We spend a lot of time with you guys as well. And we have to tiptoe around y'all as well to manage the relationship. Guys don't say it up front, but you make it seem as if, or she makes it seem as if, guys are literally just sitting there. We have sexual parts and we have money. That's what we have. And in return, you guys give us the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sky. And therefore, you should be paid for it.
But what she's saying is women need to be aware that they are giving things to men, and that you don't want to just walk around constantly giving away what are assets to someone for, quote, free. If you're not getting anything in return, being marriage, being a long-term relationship, being actual assets, a car, a home. So what she's not saying all assets have to be monetary, but what she's saying is, like, if what's happening is you're just bouncing around from person to person, you're not getting anything out of these relationships, literally nothing, then doesn't it make more sense, at least in Nina's position, that she's actually getting something? She's not getting the marriage, okay? She's not getting long-term commitment, but she is getting a house.
That's great for Nina. Careful to everybody else who wants to try that. Because what you're setting yourself up for is a transactional relationship, and you're setting yourself up for somebody else to say, okay, I'm giving you a house and a car, but this is what I want. And I actually want it on demand because you have the house and the car on demand. So here's your list. Fill out your list.
But can you at least appreciate her perspective, the author's perspective?
Absolutely not.
The perspective that women should not be giving away assets for, quote, free. That they should expect a commitment.
It's not
that
they for should free.
Expect reciprocity
it's
in
not
their relationship.
For free. You know, you of all people definitely know. I reject that idea of women are just giving themselves and their souls away to men and they get nothing in return at all. No. And we've argued about this before about how, okay, at the end of the relationship, was it a waste of time? Or was it time that both people wanted to spend?
No, it's a waste.
Yeah, and that will That'll be our topic
yeah,
of
next,
the next
that's
week.
Next
when a relationship
topic.
Ends, was it a waste or was it just time people wanted to spend?
I'll tell you it was a waste. But
it was not.
Anyways, let us know your thoughts on this. Sugar baby, yes or no? Are women giving away their assets for free?
No.
Yes or no? Should women demand more for the assets that they give? Yes.
So cooking is the asset. But her asset that she wants in return is a house.
No, I literally said the author even says there are other ways to get things in return. A commitment. a reciprocal relationships in which the man is supporting you as much as you're supporting him. And she's saying, in lieu of these things, you can also get actual things, which is, he's like, what the sugar babies are doing.
Perfect. So if he's supporting you, then he doesn't have to get you a house and a car.
Well, she's saying having a reciprocal relationship, equality in the relationship.
Perfect.
But if you end up with nothing,
no, that's fine. That is fine. So
I've been saying that, honey.
No, that is fine. And that it is now clear. So if a guy is cooking for you as much as you cook for him, if he's supporting you as much as you support him, if he listens to you the way you listen to him, if he says you're great in the way that you say it to him, then you don't need to exchange any assets because he's giving you reciprocity.
That's not what I'm saying.
That is what you just said.
The last line in this, but none of that pays the mortgage.
Oh, so now the mortgage needs to pay. So what it comes down to, it's all about the Benjamins,
anyways,
right? It's all about the Benjamins,
let
baby.
Us know your thoughts on this.
Yep. All right, so last but certainly not least is all things relationship.
In all things relationships, we dig into the hot topics all couples deal with from both a men's and women's perspective. Okay, so for all things relationships, I want to walk you through this scenario and basically ask you the question, whose career is more important and how do you decide in a marriage or not in a marriage in this case? How do you decide whose career is important and what you should do? So the scenario is this. The woman lives in Florida.
Right.
She has an opportunity to work in California at this awesome job.
Okay.
Okay. She's in a long-term relationship, 6 years, not married, not engaged, but a long-term relationship that she loves the guy. And they live in Florida. He has a business, a family, part of a family business where it bases him in Florida. He can't leave unless he leaves the family business. Years ago, they did a long distance thing when she took a job in DC. So they've done the long distance things for about 2 years, and now they're back in Florida together. They don't really want to do long distance again, but she's thinking, how can I actually turn down this amazing job in California? It's in line with her career goals. It's in line with potentially the type of dream job she wants in the future. It could be like a platform for that.
Mm-hmm.
So they are kind of at a crossroads of deciding. Does she go to California? If she goes to California, do they stay together? They don't want to do long distance again. And because there's actually no prospect of him moving to California. Or should there be a prospect of him moving to California? Should he stay? Should he leave the family business and go after her if she has this awesome opportunity and he could get a job out there doing something different? How do you decide as a couple when these types of situations come up where one person's job is calling for a move? How do you decide?
Okay. So this is a big issue, and we can unpack it in a couple ways, but I just want to make sure I heard everything right. So the short of it is they're in a relationship. They did long distance. She has an opportunity out on West Coast, but they live in Florida together. She has a great job now, but this one out in West is better.
She has an okay job now.
Okay, she has an okay job. He's in the family business. He's not moving anywhere, has no intention of it. And now they're trying to figure out what to do, or she's trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and she's not married. All right. So I think before you can answer whose career is more important and why, we need to understand what level of commitment is going on in this relationship. Because they've been together 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's not married. They did long distance, and now they're not doing that, and they don't want to do that again.
He's also not the type of guy who will propose out of any kind of fear.
That's my kind of guy.
Or pressure, I guess you could say.
That's my
kind of
guy.
He's not going to propose to her to keep her. But at the same time, it's been 6 years. Why hasn't he proposed yet? That could be a different topic for a different day. But yeah, that's the scenario.
Well, yeah.
So basically, how do you decide? How do you decide how you navigate career moves in a relationship where two people are working?
When two people are working in a relationship, how you navigate career moves depends on how tied together your lives are.
They live together.
No, I'm not talking about living together, because people can easily move out. People can break up. People can go their separate ways. And this is not, I mean, to a certain extent, yes, you say marriage, but people get divorces. People grow apart. There's different things that happen there. She has to decide, in my opinion, and I say she has to because it's coming from her lens. She has to decide whether or not her relationship is more important than her career. I think she has to make that call. And
I totally don't agree with that.
Well, let me tell you why I think she has to do it, and then I want to hear your thoughts. She has to decide if her relationship is more important with her than her career, because she's going to be in a situation where she's not going to be able to have both if he's not flexible. And she has to decide whether or not her being with an inflexible person that is putting himself first is who she wants to be with, because ultimately being with him will make her happy no matter what. If being with him will make you happy no matter what, then you probably are going to want to stay here and live your best life, because your best life is with him.
Okay.
If not, and if you're not 100% sure that this is the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, and no matter where you live, if it's with him, it's it, then she needs to go take this job in California, because you need to build your best life, whatever that is. Because if this thing is your future and your dream and he's not it, you need to go for your dream.
Okay, I disagree with that in the sense that I think he needs to move with her. This job is amazing. No, seriously, this job is amazing. She does love him. He says that he loves her. And so he needs to move. Like, he didn't move when she got that opportunity in D.C., which ended up being fine because it didn't last very long. She moved back to Florida. But this job is actually awesome. And the type of field she wants to be in is like entertainment, acting kind. Not, she doesn't want to be an actor, but she wants to be in that industry.
Right.
She needs to be on the West Coast in order to thrive. She has a lot of connections. She could be very successful at this. And if she decides to continue to stay in Florida, she's not going to achieve her dreams. And she's actually very career oriented. While she loves him, to your point about like, if her whole goal in life is to be with him no matter what, that's not her whole goal in life. So that's not like the only thing. That's why she's having trouble dealing with it, because she's like, well, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to be leaving him. And I think that he should be more flexible. Is this a family business that he can come back to if it doesn't work? And I think if it's a family business, the answer is yes. I'm sure the family would bring you back. He should not say, I'm just going to live in Florida and I'm only going to live in Florida. If you know that you've been with somebody who has aspirations to be in the entertainment industry, no, the girl is like, she's 28 years old. No, I do not think that, I think that if they want to be together, they should both be like, hey, like, let's take a chance and let's move. Even if she goes out first to get settled or whatever, and he has to kind of wrap things up, I think that he should take a chance and move. He has skills. He can get another job. So
okay, you said you disagree. I actually don't think you're really disagreeing with my thought process. I think you're just choosing to focus on him and what he should do. And I'm choosing to focus on her and what she should do. Because what I'm trying to get her to do is make a decision about what she wants and go for that, regardless of what he says.
And I guess I'm marrying that. I'm saying, yes, make the decision based on what you want, which is to go to California. She wants this job. And your boyfriend should be on board with that.
And I'm going to say he doesn't have to be, but that you need to
do. If he's not on board, I think this should be the end of their relationship. Because they've been together for 6 years, and basically by not being willing to move, you're basically saying that the only way we're going to be together is if I become a housewife to you and that my career aspirations come to a complete halt because I need to be in California. So if you're saying that you have to be in Florida and that there is no wiggle room on that, and I'm saying, well, I eventually need to get to California because that's where my career would thrive, then we, I guess, have come to a true crossroads and we have to break up. And that's hard to do after 6 years. We've been together for like 6 years. I mean, I'm not trying to break up with you. That'd be hard to do after 6 years.
I'm agreeing with you on the latter part of that statement, where if he is not going to show any flexibility on this one and she's that passionate about it, then it probably is going to end the relationship. But I think my position on all of these things is it's fine to talk with someone you're not married to. Because I think when you're married, the conversation changes a bit. If you're not married, it's fine to talk with that person. But I think you need to figure out what you want first. I don't think you should be figuring out what you want in relationship.
She wants to go to California.
Okay, she wants to go to California.
Yeah.
But does she want to go to California even if he doesn't come?
Well, she wants that kind of a job. So she knows that's where she has to be.
Is she willing to give up the relationship if he doesn't go?
That's, I don't know.
And she's got to figure that part out. I think when you're not married, you have to figure out what you want and what life you're going to live independent of the other person. And then you go to that person, because say she figures out, okay, I want this job no matter what. I got to have it. There's no way I can turn this down. Then she needs to go to him and she needs to express that. and say, look, I have to have this job. I have to go. But I want you to come with me. And furthermore, to me, after 6 years, it shouldn't be, you shouldn't have to, I want you to come with me. What's
the
phrase?
Poop or get off the pot. He really should have proposed by now.
That's a whole nother topic.
6 years.
It's a whole nother topic. And also, are we sure this man is going to propose?
No, she's not sure either.
Are we sure he wants to propose?
No, and this she's is not sure.
And this is, I'm not trying to say, are you sure he wants to marry you? I'm trying to say, are you sure he even wants to get married? Because there are a lot of people who don't want to get married, and they live their whole lives, and they say they're committed, and they are committed.
He has never expressed that. He's never been like, oh, I'm just not the marrying type. He's just been like, when it's right. Like, bullshitting. No, complete bullshitting. But it's just like,
that's
it's
that not bold
gonna,
stuff.
Yeah,
that's
like, it's not going to get any righter. You know what I mean? Like, there's in a six-year period, there's not going to be a more right time. It's not like they're 14.
Are you sure
they're 20.
She's never brought it up?
Well, people have brought it up because it's such a long time. In the same way that, like, when you're in a relationship for, like, 12 years and people are like, wait, what? Like, why aren't you guys married? That's kind of what has been happening to them. Mm. It's like other people in their lives are kind of looking at them like, so y'all live together, so y'all been together, so man, y'all so have done long-distance relationships together, and you're still not getting married? What's going
she's
on?
She's 28, so she's been with this guy since she's 22. And he's 30. You've been with him your entire 20s.
Yeah, look, adult life, after college. Look. They're good.
I don't know. I don't know which friend you're talking about, but to the case, she needs to take this job if she really wants it, and she needs to go to California, and she needs to say, look, I want you to come with me. I need to go. If you need to take time to think about where you want to be and what you want to do with that, it's fine. Like, I would like to stay in touch. And
we I want to stay in touch. I would like to stay with you. I would like you to come out here with me.
No, but if he's not...
But if you don't, then... Because they said they don't want to do long distance again.
They don't want to do long distance. So I'm not trying to say that you say, okay, well, let's just do long distance. What I'm trying to say is don't close the door on him because he doesn't come right now. He might, at the week after you go, decide he's distraught and whatever the case is. And it happens in the movies and it does sometimes happen in real life where sometimes that's the moment they magically realize, look, it doesn't matter where we are. I'd rather be with you. I'm willing to forego the family business for now because it'd probably be here if you decide to come back to it.
That's my point.
But that's another point. He may decide at another point, if you guys are truly it and it's it and it's it, he may come around. You don't have to wait for him per se, but I'm saying don't necessarily close the door and break up and be all, what? Nah, we're done if you don't come with me right now.
Yeah, kind of like a soft break.
Just and just so he understands that I'm going. When I go, I can't do, neither of us want to do long distance, so I'm not saying we should. But I'm also not saying that I want this to be over. All I'm saying to you is I have to go to California, and I'm getting ready, and I'm going in X amount of time.
Yeah, I think she should go. She has to be cognizant.
Go
of
live
career.
Your life. People will find their way back to you if they need to find their way back to you, and you may learn by not only what's that people always saying, like, sometimes you need to pick yourself up and put yourself in another place to really, like, understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. She may get to California and she may realize he's it. Or she may realize, you know what, he wasn't really it. He was just an option. And there are 3 million other options running around the state of California.
Maybe.
You never know what's going to happen in your life. But to me, when you feel like there's something in your gut is pulling you towards that, go. Explore it. The worst that can happen is you decide this is not it. 6 months, a year, you come back.
Yeah. You know how I feel about that. I feel like we're young. If you don't have, you know, kids or anything holding you back, move.
Even if you
move,
have kids.
Because you can always, if it's domestic US, you can always move back. There's like, it's almost zero risk. You might lose some money in the process, but it's basically zero risk. If you can get another job, you can
move
across
the country. Yeah, it's time and energy, but do what you need to do. I mean, to our point earlier in the podcast, if this is what you feel like is your purpose and this thing is pushing you towards your purpose, you
can't ignore it.
You can't ignore it for somebody you've been dating for 6 years. And if you want to be married and he's not there, so there's one part of your purpose he's not fulfilling, and now he's potentially going to be a block to the other part.
Yep. Don't do it.
I don't see that. This is not selfish. This is just doing what you need to do for you. And he's doing what he needs to do for him by staying with his family business if that's what he decided.
That's what he decides, yeah. All right.
Well, that's it for All These Things Podcast for this episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Don't forget to find us on social media. We're on Facebook at All These Things Podcast, and we're on Twitter and Instagram at @AllTheseThings. Let us know your thoughts on some of our topics and share the podcast with your friends.
All right. Thanks, and have a great week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.